This is a shiur on Likutei Sichos, Chelek Yutes, Book 19, the Sicha of Devarim, the second Sicha. In the pasuk at the beginning of the Book of Devarim, it says, in the 40th year, Moshe spoke to the Bnei Israel, and there are two pirushim of two pashtonim, two commentaries that address the simple meaning of the pasuk. They establish what is this fifth book about. In other words, what is the nature of this speech that Moshe Rabbeinu gives? He starts on the 40th year, starts on the first day of the month of Shvat, and it continues till it culminates in the end of the fifth book, the Book of Devarim, where Moshe Rabbeinu ascends to Har Nevoi and he passes. So, which we know from a deduction that it's Zayin Adar, the 7th of Adar, it's the last 37 days being depicted here. What is the nature of this long speech, so to speak? So Rashi, well, we recognize Rashi as a Pashtun, right? As somebody who deals with the simple meaning of the Pasuk. That's the famous statement of Rashi. Ani loy bosi ela lefarish peshutei shel mikra. I always come to explain the Pashto Pshat. And then we're going to bring also the Sefurnim. It's not always, not so oft brought by name in the Sichas necessarily. But he also is coming to explain Pashto Pshat. So Rashi brings from the Sifri that the things that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to speak now were words of rebuke. As Rashi says, because he left the words of rebuke close to his passing. For the various reasons Rashi brings there, as the Torah relates it to Yaakov Avinu, also just before he passed, he gave words of rebuke to his children. The Sefurnu says that Moshe Rabbeinu took this opportunity to repeat for them the entire Torah, everything, to recap for them, to repeat to them the entire Torah that had been said until this point. So two pshatim, words of rebuke, or a repetition of the entire Torah that existed till then. These two pirushim, these two explanations of the same discussion, of the same speech, so to speak, that Moshe gave, they are not at odds with each other, because actually this Book of Devarim contains actually both one and the same thing. In other words, the Book of Devarim, we find many words of rebuke. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them to pay heed to the way they've acted and to act better. And also, we do find that the Torah is repeated here, right? Mishneh, that's why it's called Mishneh Torah, the repetition of the Torah. And what's the difference between the two Mefarshim? In other words, if we're saying that the Book of Devarim contains both aspects, the difference between the two commentaries will be which is more of the emphasized aspect that would denote and sum up the Book of Devarim? Is it the rebuke aspect or is the repetition aspect? Or perhaps more than that, which is not only the more emphasized, what's the main objective? What's more fundamental to this book? Is it the rebuke aspect or is it the repetition aspect? However, we have to understand, since the words that we opened up with, Diber Moshe, on this first day of the month of Shvat in the 40th year, Moshe spoke. And those words, Moshe spoke, goes on the entire Book of Devarim. So therefore we have to say, if they're all being summed up as one, Moshe spoke, so we have to say that one, they have also both aspects, both the fact that they're words of rebuke and the fact that it's a repetition of the Torah, are really part and parcel of the same Diber Moshe, Moshe spoke. Or it means that they have some kind of a joint content. Rebuke and repetition are really one and the same thing at their essence, which is what the Rebbe is going to explain to us at length here. Repetition and rebuke really emanate and speak and come to achieve that same thing. I don't want to give away the end game, but it's about creating a change from within. But let's get there. Base. The difference between the first book, four books, and the fifth book, the book of Devarim, the Gemara says that the first four books are Mipi HaGevura, they're said from the mouth of Hashem, whereas the Mishnah Torah, the book of Devarim, the repetition of the Torah, Moshe said it, Mipi Atzmai, from himself. What does that mean? The pshat, when we say that Moshe said it from himself, is not, God forbid, that the Mishnah Torah, the book of Devarim, Moshe, God forbid, said his own speech. And the Rebbe, right away in footnote 7, says, you have to remember what the Rambam tells us, that anybody who says that the Torah is not from Hashem in every word, even if one word, if he says, Moshe Rabbeinu says it independently, this is called somebody who's a heretic, somebody who denies the Torah. Right? So, it's not pshat, the Gemara is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu said the book of Devarim from himself. No. It's not saying his own words. However, Rashi explains elsewhere that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say Mishnah Torah, the book of Devarim, from himself. It was what he had received from Hashem. And he repeated to them what he received from Hashem. And everything that was said in the second time that the Aseres HaDibros are repeated, okay, in the book of Eschanan, in the second parasha of Devarim, that's what was written in the Luchos. And that's what he, because there are some minor differences between the second Aseres HaDibros, the way it's depicted in the first. He said, no, that's what was written in the Luchos. And that's what he heard at Sinai. And as Tosfos says, the commentary Tosfos says, that when we say that Moshe said it from himself, it means Beruach HaKodesh, he said it with, enveloped in the spirit of the Holy Spirit, in other words, in the form of prophecy. So one second. Since if we're saying that also Mishnah Torah, the repetition of the book of Devarim, was Moshe said with his own words, but it was really Hashem speaking, as the language goes, Shekhinah medaberes mitoch groinoy, that the Shekhinah, God's Holy Presence, spoke from within his throat, which that's why he says in the Shema, we say every day, we say, V'hayam Shema Tishmo, if you listen to my mitzvahs, which I've commanded you. And then it says, V'nasati, I will give rain. What do you mean, I will give rain? It's Moshe Rabbeinu speaking. So what do we explain? What does it mean? It's the spirit of Hashem within him that's become one with him, and that's what's speaking. The Rebbe quotes here in footnote 13, the Zohar, that says that Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking from within himself, from that voice of Hashem that's become at one with him. And therefore it's become so much at one with Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe can speak as if he's speaking first person. I will give rain. It's Hashem giving rain. But he's become one with Hashem. So one second, if he's at that level of oneness with Hashem, so he's really seems to be parodying, so to speak, or echoing Hashem's words. So why is this any different than the first four books? Why this book of Devarim, which we see, is also him becoming, being one with Hashem and saying the words of Hashem? Why is that called different than the first four books? And we say that he said those words from himself. And we find this emphasized because the Gemara tells us there's an argument about whether you can learn and derive things in the Torah from sequence, from proximity. In other words, if one set of laws is, or one part of the story is repeated in proximity to the other, can we say that the fact that they are placed in proximity teaches us something? It means that there's a relationship between one and the next. And there's an opinion that says that the Torah has to be read without learning meaning from the fact that one thing is placed next to the other thing. However, even if that is the case, even according to the opinion, that is the case with the rest of the Torah, in other words, you have to look at each parsha independently, not from the fact that it's placed here next to the other one. That's not a basis to learn, to derive a teaching from. There's an opinion that holds that it is. However, the Gemara says that even according to that opinion that says that about the four books, in the fifth book, everybody holds, even that opinion holds, yes, you do have to learn, you do learn lessons from the order in which and the proximity and the placement of various parshas next to one, next to the other, that is a basis to learn and derive things from. Why? So the Raivan, I believe he's a Rishon, if I'm mistaken. The Raivan, learns, you know why that is about Mishneh Torah, about the fifth book? Because all the other four books, they were said directly echoing the word of Hashem. It's the word of Hashem that Moshe is saying. And there's no, you can't learn from what was said earlier or later. It's, in other words, obviously there is reason. But it's higher than us mortal minds to be able to derive something from it. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the one that teaches the fifth book. And he, so to speak, chose in what order to place things, one parsha after the other, the reason he placed them, and he lined things up in a particular way, is in order we should derive something from it. Oh, so we see that there is a difference, in other words. But if Moshe Rabbeinu is saying it from the mouth of Hashem in the fifth book as well, what's the difference really between the first four and the fifth? And this also leads us to the question, as we just said, since Mishneh Torah was said with Ruach HaKodesh, the fifth book was also said with the Holy Spirit, with Ruach HaKodesh. So why do we say that we can derive something from the order? The first four books, we said, is said from Hashem. It's beyond our rationale to be able to derive things from the order. The fourth book is also said from Ruach HaKodesh. Why is it any different? Gimel, the explanation of all this. Our sages explained to us that the Torah preceded the world by 2,000 years. What does it mean, preceded? It means preceded not just in time. Anything that precedes the world has to obviously mean precedent in time, because the world, time is only created, it's one of the creations of the world. But it doesn't just mean it preceded the world time-wise. No, it means mainly in virtue and in prestige, in advantage, in ma'ila v'chashivus. What does that mean? In other words, Torah, the way it is, in its essence, is higher than world. It precedes worlds. It stands much higher than world. And therefore, in order that Torah should be able to come down here into the world, it needs to come down through something that is what is, the language here is amemutza, something that's an intermediary. And the intermediary has to have both things. The Rebbe says here in the Ha'ara, like a meturgama, like a translator. Or a communicator. What's the benefit of a translator? He needs to know the language that's being spoken by the one who's communicating, and he needs to know the language of the one he's communicating to, right? Or if you talk about a meturgamon, not necessarily a translator, but a communicator, somebody who can take difficult concepts, let's say being taught by an erudite, by a mystical sage, and communicate it to those that are much lower in terms of an intellectual level. He has to be somebody who has some kind of a relationship with a sage who's giving this deep teaching, and also be able to be relatable. The sage perhaps is so much higher than everybody else, but the person who's communicating it also has to be of the ilk, so to speak, of that same level, or be able to relate to those he's communicating to. So he has to have both aspects. So if we're talking about the Torah being higher than the world, but the Torah coming down to the world, this needs to somehow be transmitted by a communication means that both is higher than the world and is also in the world. And therefore it can bring and connect the higher than the world aspect of Torah and bring it down to be able to be comprehensible in the world. What is this memutza, this intermediary that's able to join the Torah the way it is in its essence, higher than the world, and bring it down to the world? That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, we find both extremes. We find that he was in the absolute highest level of bittul. In other words, bittul is that he's not an independent entity. Bittul means to be subliminally incorporated within the higher level. word for bittul, a good translation, I'm not sure, but means not to be an independent entity. Moshe Rabbeinu says about himself, and Aaron v'nachnu ma, who are we? What are we? We are nothing. We are just, so to speak, extensions. We become so incorporated and enveloped in the above, in Hashem. We're nothing. We don't have our own existence. In other words, he has such a bittul that's higher than world. Yet on the other hand, he was also the epitome of the wholesomeness of actual mitzias of created being. The way a created being is in the world. That's why we find about Moshe Rabbeinu that he is very tall. It says that he's Eser Amis. Eser Amis, to give context, is a little bit less than 5 meters. It's a lot more than the average person. The average person is around 3 amas, closer to 1.5 meters. So we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu as being the most complete person around, even in his physical body. And as we know in the Ha'ora, in the footnote, the Rebbe also refers, as a reference also to Ashirus, to wealth. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was the most perfect physical existence that could be. At the same time, he was the most perfectly bottle, non-existent. And that's why he could join these two aspects. That Torah, which is higher than world, he is able to be the conduit and the intermediary to bring it down into world. Dalit. There's two ways when we talk about the way that something is transmitted, a hashpah, a transmission that comes through a memutza, through an intermediary. There are two general ways. There's one way, Aleph, there's a way of Maiver. Maiver means kind of transit. In other words, the transmission comes not in a way that it is, that it becomes at one with the intermediary, in a way that it becomes enclosed in him. Rather, it just gets transmitted like almost like a funnel. You pour something into a funnel, and it comes out the other side the same way. And therefore, the intermediary hasn't created any change in what was being transmitted through it. So why do you need what's being achieved by the intermediary? Well, it's enabling to somehow channel and funnel down the hashpa, that transmission, whatever it is trying to be transmitted, from a higher level to a lower level. I'm not sure if it would be, I'm just thinking out loud. For example, a funnel, the reason you use a funnel, let's say, is because you want to pour from, let's say, a big bottle into small bottles, it's going to get wasted. You're not going to be able to steer it into the small bottle. So you need the funnel, but the funnel's not changing what's being transmitted. In a second, we're going to give the example that Rebbe brings in the Ha'ara, which will make everything understandable. But first, the second level of transmission through an intermediary is when it becomes enclosed. In other words, the transmission becomes taken up, enclosed, and become at one with the one who's transmitting, with that device that's transmitting the transmission. Which through that there becomes some kind of a change that's affected within that what's being transmitted. It becomes reduced, or it becomes minimized, adapted to the level of the intermediary. Through that, those that need to receive this transmission are able to receive it also according to their capacity. Says the Rebbe in Ha'ara 25, footnote 25, the Rebbe says, the best example for this is the two kinds of transmission that we can readily understand. Writing something intellectual through your hands. So you take a pen, and now you have this deep concept, and you're writing it onto paper. So now let's analyze that there's a transmission going on. Your intellect was in your mind, now it's on paper. What was the vehicle that transmitted, what was the device, the vehicle that transmitted your intellect to the paper? It was your fingers. But did your fingers actually understand the intellect and then, so to speak, become at one with it and then transmit it to the paper? No. The hands, the fingers, were just like a funnel. It was made it available, it made it possible to transmit the seichel to the paper without being changed. It was used as a transmission device, which didn't create any change in the seichel. It didn't become finger kind of intellect now. No, it's the intellect that's transmitted via the fingers into the paper. The other example, which is, so that's the example of what we call derech maivir. It's just in a way of passing, transmission without any change created. The other example is when one thinks about the intellect the way it is brought down and absorbed by the brain. So all of a sudden you have an idea, and the idea is almost, wow, one second, you're about to get an idea, you have it, it's coming, oh, I got it. Now, what happens is that concept is now adapted to your brain capacity, basically. And you will understand it at your level. It's now become yours. And now when you transmit that further, you're actually transmitting what's become yours, and you are now transmitting, even when you hear from somebody else, a concept. You read a concept. Sometimes three people can read the same concept. Each one will transmit it in a different way because they've made it their own. It's become adapted to their own level of intellect. And now you transmit it further. So that's an intermediary that adapts the transmission and then transmits further. As we said earlier about a miturgaman, if somebody's communicating something deep, the thing is, he's able to be at the level of the depth that's being communicated to him, but he's also able to adapt it to be able to share it with those that need to understand that aren't at that level of depth. Yeah. So then we say, and then the Rebbe says in the Hora that this also continues on a further level when we look at the seichel, the intellectual concept going into midas being translated to emotion. That what happens is the emotive response or the emotive continuation of what you've understood really depends on the person's emotional capacity, right? It's going to be in each person. There will be a different response based on his midas, because the seichel is being not transmitted the way it is in its pure sense. It's becoming taken to heart and then expresses itself in the form of some emotion. And this is the difference, says the Rebbe. These two versions of transmission is going to be the difference between the first four books of the Torah and the Mishneh Torah, the fifth book. And that is the first four books of the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is transmitting in a way of passing, in a way of transit, without creating any change. As Rashi says elsewhere, or 29, in Megillah, where it says that Rashi says he was a shaliach, he was just like an agent to transmit the exact transmission that Hashem gives him, and, so to speak, unadulterated, unchanged, pass it directly like a funnel, so to speak, to the Bnei Yisrael. Those words of Torah were not enveloped or enclosed in Moshe Rabbeinu's perception and understanding in a way of islapshus. They remained in a way as they're passing through Moshe and being told to the Bnei Yisrael, what remains of them is simply that they're the words of Hashem being transmitted in a unadulterated form, which is not the case by Moshe, by Mishneh Torah. Conversely, by Mishneh Torah, even though they are also said with Ruach HaKodesh, Hashem's Holy Spirit, but that in that case, it's the Ruach of Hashem, the Spirit of Hashem, which becomes enclosed and comprehended in the understanding of Moshe, as we said, in the intellectual understanding of Moshe, in a way that it's become him. And that's why when he then passes it on, we say this is, in a sense, mipi atzmei, from himself. although it's the word of Hashem, but it's the word of Hashem passing through him, so to speak. Interesting to see that the Rebbe says in Ara 28 that there are many levels of this. In other words, the Rebbe quotes other Maimonim, other places where you may see and various other nuances. The Rebbe says there's many levels in this. When you say that the first four books were directly from Hashem, the fifth was the way Moshe had taken it in and transmitted. And that's where you could find, you know, various quotes that need to be adapted to this concept. But generally speaking, this is the difference, as it ever. The first four books were purely the word of Hashem, just passing through in a way that we call maiver, like transit, like funnel, without any change. Fifth book was coming in a way of islapshus. It's a way where the concept was received by Moshe and then transmitted, so to speak, in his words. Beruach HaKedesh, he being one with Hashem, is transmitting where Hashem wants him to transmit, but it's after it's perceived by him. This is also the explanation why, even according to the opinion that says usually you can't derive anything from the order, the way things are arranged in the Torah, in the fifth book you can, because the four books of the Torah, since they didn't come in a way that they were enclosed in the understanding of the Seichel of Moshe, so even though the order that they are said is in the absolute Tachlis Adiyak, the most absolute concept of exactness, and therefore, as Rebbe says here in Ha'ara 31 from the Shalom, even though we say Ein Muktam Ma'ucher B'Torah, there's no chronological sequence in the Torah, don't ask why I find something from the second year in the desert said before the first year. No. The Torah does not follow necessarily a chronological order. Says the Shalom, don't think, God forbid, that it's there's something incomplete about this. The Torah is in the exact, is at the top epitome of shleimus, of completeness. And therefore, definitely, to paraphrase, hi hamesuderes petachlis adira, it's organized in the absolute, most impeccable way of organization. What's pshat, continues the Rebbe here inside the Sicha? It's a hecher seder. It's obviously going according to a higher order. It's not according to the proximity of one parsha to the other. It's not according to the understandability, not at the level to be understood by the created beings. And that's why it says we can't learn a drasha from the proximity of the parshas. However, when we talk about Mishneh Torah, by Mishneh Torah we say that what? That the word of Hashem was mislabish and closed itself in the understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu. So also the order of the events, also the order of the way things were organized according to the understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu, is with a order that we, so to speak, the created being, can also derive teachings from. And that's why about that it says Dorish Smuchim, we can learn things from the proximity, from the sequence that things are placed. Okay. Hey, we have to understand, why did Hashem do this? Why did Hashem make it that there should be a difference between these four books? We understand what the difference is, but why? Oh, now we're... That's a good question. Lama. That the Mishneh Torah, the repetition of Torah, should be enclosed in the understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu to the extent that it should be called that he's saying it from his own. The Chayra, I mean, what are we asking? Why did Hashem do it? We're not asking why did Hashem do it. The Rebbe now clarifies, why is he asking Lama Asa Hashem Kocha? Usually, the words Lama Asa Hashem Kocha, interestingly, is when we're, so to speak, asking with indignance. It's not like a question, why did Hashem, it's not just a question of why. It's an indignant question. The Rebbe says, L'cha'ira, this is a diminishment, a descent from the four books. Wow, that's the word of Hashem, unchanged. And here, so to speak, when we should be here I'm putting in my own oomph to the question. Shouldn't it be a grand finale? Fifth book, Moshe Rabbeinu's final, so to speak, speech in the Torah. And what are we saying? It's a lower level? Why does Hashem do that? In the context of the 9 days, you know, when we have suffering, he says, Lama as Hashem kacha. We have Lama Yemru Vagoyim. Ayelekeim, Tehillim we say. Or we have in the Kriyas HaTorah of the fast days. Lama Yemru Vagoyim, like Moshe Rabbeinu challenges Hashem, so to speak. Why should the Goyim say you didn't have the power to take the Jews into Israel? That's why you didn't let them get through the desert. Yeah, anyway, so the Lama, why? Why is there, it seems to be, this is a diminishment. That I was going to explain, this is the highest level. It's not a diminishment. The explanation is like this. When we have Hashpah, and we talk about it coming in a way like a funnel, so to speak, in a transit, not being enclosed in the intermediary who's transmitting it, there's virtue. You're getting the unadulterated, unchanged transmission, but it remains essentially higher than the understanding of those that need to be recipients. Because what are we trying to do? We're taking something that's higher in its essence from being understood by those that are in the world, and not changing it and transmitting it to somehow be approachable to those in the world. But they can't really get the essence of what's being transmitted. So whatever they're going to get is going to be a diminishment of what was being transmitted. In other words, the light is going to be so big, they're only going to, what they're going to be able to ingest is just going to be the non-essence, really. Essentially, this thing was higher and nothing changed about it. The intermediary just transmitted it the way it was, but it's still going to be too dazzling for them to take the essence. So whatever they're going to receive is really going to be a diminishment, something very reduced. As Rebbe says here in the Ha'ara, let's see where the Ha'ara belongs. It's 32. Okay, we'll say this Ha'ara in a second. And therefore, continues the Rebbe, if the Torah would come down below only in the way that it's transmitted through Moshe Rabbeinu as a funnel, so then the Yidden with their own kelim, with their own intellectual abilities, wouldn't be able to comprehend the essence of Torah. They wouldn't be able to really take the word of Hashem that is vested in the Torah, because that's higher than understanding. They're approaching with understanding. So the only thing they'll be able to do is to be totally with bittul. Here's Ha'ara 32. The vehicle to the word of Hashem is only through total bittul, through total non-being. Through learning in a way where the person's existence is kind of, the language here is ta'an l'sheni masecha. It's like the person's echoing the word of Hashem. Like it's Hashem's voice and he's just echoing it. But that's a level of bittul where he doesn't really, it's not him who in his earthly existence is really comprehending the word of Hashem. The word of Hashem is too high to be comprehended. Because Moshe Rabbeinu has brought down the Dvar Hashem with its power and intensity, but either they can just be totally bottle and then somehow get it, but then they haven't really gotten it in their power of intellect, or if they're taking it with their intellect, because it hasn't essentially been changed, it's too high for them, so they can only get something that they're, so to speak, in a diminished way. And this is the advantage, and this is what has been achieved through Mishneh Torah, through the fifth book, through the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated to them the whole Torah. He said it the way that he had received it, and there's a word that's very negative when we talk about God forbid, intermarriage. It's what is the word when it gets assimilation. Perhaps we can use that word here, though, in a positive. When Moshe Rabbeinu brings it into himself and, so to speak, assimilates it into his clay hasaga, into his vehicle of understanding, into his seichel, and then he transmits it to the Yidden. So Moshe Rabbeinu has not lost, right? We said that Moshe Rabbeinu has aspects of above and aspects of world, and that's why he can be the transmitter. When he now makes it part of him and transmits it, so now it's the Dvar Hashem, it's the word of Hashem that is remained essentially the same, the word of Hashem, but it's been somehow, we'll soon see how this is possible, but somehow this has now become crystallized, so to speak, in Seichel as well, without losing its essence, which now, when transmitted to the Yidden, again, Moshe Rabbeinu transmits the whole Torah this way. He repeats the whole Torah to them in a way that it's coming through him, in a way that it's been assimilated, so to speak, enclosed within him, and now transmitted to the Yidden, which means that when a Yid learns Torah, whatever position he may be, even if he's, God forbid, not holy, he's able to take the Torah, and the Torah is able to become at one with him, the way he understands it. And what does it say about Torah? Torah about says, even if a person is impure, and even if we're talking about an impurity, that's the impurity that comes even from a bodily emission, still it says that that Torah that he learns is not affected by it. That's why the halacha is that a person can learn Torah even if he's in that state of impurity. Because it says that my words are like fire. Dvorai ko'esh. In other words, when a person is learning Torah the way Moshe Rabbeinu taught it, in its repetition, made it possible for that Torah to become so much part of the person, the essence of the Torah becomes one with the person. So much so that it doesn't matter that he's not Torah, he's not pure. And since Moshe Rabbeinu repeated to him the whole Torah, so it's not just that the fifth book has this power. Moshe Rabbeinu repeated to him the whole Torah. So all the four books are also now transmitted to us, not just in a way where they're the way they were said in the beginning of the 40 years, up to the last 40 days, where it was in a way that was in some way incomprehensible to us without just being able to lose ourselves in the bittul. In that final 40 days, Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the power to be able to understand it, and still it retains its Dvar Hashemness, its the word of Hashem, its fiery word of Hashem aspect that is not affected even by impurity. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, how does he do this for us? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is that Mamutz, is that intermediary that actually connects all Jews with Hashem. All Jews means all Jews. Remember what it says in Vayeschanan, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am the one who stands between Hashem and you to transmit to you the word of Hashem. This is all Jews. You know what all Jews means? Square bracket, says the Rebbe here. Also those Jews that are in a lower level. How do we know this? Because Moshe Rabbeinu says, when the Jewish people come with a desire for meat, Moshe Rabbeinu is appalled. He says, where will I take meat from? In other words, I know everything that the Jewish people have comes through me. Such a thing, they want flesh, they want meat. How am I going to reduce myself to be at the level that I can give meat to the people? These people are not at my level. Meat, not just meat. Meat that they want from Taiva because of desire. Hashem said, no. You're the source for them too. Gather together 70 people from the elders, and I will give from the spirit that's on you. Your spirit is going to go now and be placed upon the 70 elders, and in that way you're going to be giving meat to those Jews who are at that low level, that it's not enough that they have sustenance, but they also need to have a taiva, they need to have a fulfillment of their physical desire to have meat. But that is coming from Moshe. Hashem gave a way for it to become transmitted, but it's coming from Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is connecting all Jews, even Jews that are not Tohar and giving them this concept that the Torah is in its pristine form, in the fieriness of the Dvar Hashem, intelligible to them and acceptable, receivable by them too. And therefore, since the Torah was enclosed in this intermediary of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, we said, was Eser Amos. He was very tall, 10 Amos. But the 10 Amos, you think about the tall part, there's also the lowest of the Amos. Even on the lowest, that lowest, closest to earth, Amo, also there, Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's transmitting the Torah, in other words, even to the simplest of the simple. So we've now, comes out that this is, wow, this is a grand finale. This is the highest level of Torah, the way Moshe Rabbeinu transmits to the Yidden something that in the first four books was really unpackageable. Whatever the Jews would be able to get, it remained fiery, but not bridgeable for the Jew to be able to receive in his created state without being a highest level of Bittul. Now Moshe Rabbeinu gives that whole Torah and makes it available even to the other ways he is in his Metzias and even to the lowest. Vav. But how can that be? How can the Torah, which is enclosed in the Seichel of Moshe Rabbeinu, and later, in other words, not Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Torah that becomes enclosed in the Seichel of us, to the, you know to what extent we consider it enclosed in the Seichel of the one who learns? To the extent that there's a halacha that a Talmud Chacham can be Meichel. Talmud Chacham could forego the kavod that is deserving to him. Now, why does a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, have kavod coming him, respect? Because of the Torah he's learned. You're not really respecting the student, the rabbi, the Torah scholar. You're respecting the fact that he has Torah in him. So how can he then say that he forgoes his kavod? The reason is, as the Gemara says, because the Torah is called his Torah, as derived from a pasuk in Tehillim of Torah Soy Yehege Yom Valoylo. It says Kim Betorah Hashem Cheftzoy. Happy is the one in the first capital of Tehillim. Happy is the person who learns the Torah of Hashem, and then it says, and in his Torah he studies day and night. So Torah Soy derives the Gemara is not in his Torah, Hashem's Torah. Torah Soy in his Torah, the Torah of the Talmud Chacham, and that's why it becomes his. And if he wants to forego getting the covet that he's deserving of, he's allowed to, because it's like his Torah. What's he saying? It's really, Rabbi's using this to explain how it's really become vested and enclosed in the Seichel of the one who's learnt it. And yet you're saying that this is the fieriness of the word of Hashem. How is that possible? The way that is possible is because Mishneh Torah emanates, and its source is the Atzmos of Hashem, the essence of Hashem. That's higher than any division. It's higher than even the concept of revelation and spiritual lights. Even the highest supernal lights, they are all in somehow within a certain context. There's a framework. You can give levels, this level, that level. And therefore, either there has to be some definition. Either there are lights that become revealed with their intensity, if they're not becoming enclosed within an intermediary that changes them somehow, or they come in a way that they've been changed and altered and they're able to be perceived by the lower level, right? But then they're changed, then they're not the fieriness that they were before they came through the intermediary. Only when you talk about Hashem's essence, Atzmus, which is higher than any division, higher than any changes, that's where you can have both concepts as one. On the one hand, the ashpa, the transmission that's being transmitted, comes in a way that it's totally vested in the one that's receiving, in the created being. Until we can even say about Moshe Rabbeinu, who's receiving this, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu said it on his own, bi'atzmei. At the same time, though, it retains its fieriness, its Dvar Hashemness, its word of Hashemness. This defies the usual process of Ishtalshlos, where Oiris, this comes from something that's higher than any definition. That's why it can be a noisei hafachim, like we say. It can have opposites. On the one hand, it's the unaltered intensity of the word of Hashem. On the other hand, it's become vested and assimilated within the seichel of Moshe. It's a dichotomy. It can't make sense anywhere else, but at the level of Hashem, which defies all boundaries and is higher than being defined by any rules. And this is in the first four books of the book of Mishneh Torah. The first four books are said from Hashem. Indeed, they're from Hashem. More than that, the Ramban explains that the whole Torah is really written like a third person, an onlooker, a third person telling about two people that are interacting, two entities that are interacting. How does the whole Torah is written? Hashem spoke to Moshe saying. So who's this narrator who's saying that Hashem spoke to Moshe saying? The whole book is really, the Torah is really written like a narrator outside saying that Hashem spoke to Moshe. And Chassidus says that what level is that? That's the level of Atzmus, the essence of Hashem that's higher than the name of Yudke Vavke. Therefore, he can stand, so to speak, outside, above the sphere of Yudke Vavke, and say, Yudke Vavke is speaking to Moshe. Havaya is communicating with Moshe. So, one second. So, the four books are already at that level of Atzmus. So, what's the difference between that and the fifth book? However, the fact in itself that we can call it the third party who's speaking, that third party which is joining those other two levels, Havaya and Moshe, this already shows that even that third is connected somehow with division, with being able to give labels and ischalkus, levels. Mishneh Torah, however, is coming directly from Hashem, from Atzmus. It's higher, it's not even said in the way of a third party who's speaking about Havaya and Moshe. It's coming from a totally higher space, from Atzmus, and an even more existential level of Atzmus, so to speak, the essence of Hashem. And that's why you can have both aspects here that are coexisting in an impossible way. Moshe says it from himself, it's Moshe saying, at the same time, it's the word of Hashem. Quite unintelligible. It says that Ebbe and Zayin, this concept actually, we find a similar parallel in the Aveda of man. Where is that? This is Aveda of Tshuva. Fascinating thing. The movement, the tenua, the move that a person makes to Teshuva actually comes from the actual Baal Teshuva himself. In other words, before he did the sin, he was... one second, let me understand this. Warum wie bald das fallen geht? Ist gewen abgerissen von Likus? I'm not sure I understand these words 100%. If anybody knows an explanation, please let me know. But I'm just going to translate. I think I get the concept. Warum? Because since before the sin, he was torn away from Hashem. Before the sin or before the tshuva? Or perhaps, why was it? Perhaps this is the meaning. Before the person sins, how does a person sin? The sin can only come when a person is torn away from Hashem. What does that mean? When he comes back to Hashem, how is he coming back to Hashem? It's not because of a revelation of Hashem's light from above. We said he's not a keli. That doesn't speak to him. One second, you see the person sinned. It means you don't care about what Hashem says. So how is he now coming back to Hashem? This coming back to Hashem is somehow coming from within the person himself. It's like, you know, we can relate it today. Unfortunately, we know this all too closely. That sometimes, the youth sometimes, God forbid, is rebellious. So what are you going to come and tell them? They're not listening. They're not doing, they're not doing whatever, particular mitzvah or something. What are you going to come and tell them? Hashem said do it. Right now, the reason they're not doing whatever they're not doing or they're acting because they don't care about that. But then all of a sudden you see, yes, Baruch Hashem, you see often and maybe always that youth comes back. Where are you coming back from? The way you went so far away is because you didn't care. So somehow within the person, it's not coming, so to speak. You don't see in a revealed way the way it's coming from above. Before that, you were telling him, Hashem says do this, Hashem says do this, Hashem says this, and the kid didn't care. And now it comes back. So it's coming, somehow it seems to be coming from within. There is, however, a rule that nothing really comes just starting from below. Everything, every arousal from below really comes because Hashem has given the power for it. So definitely the power of teshuvah is also coming from above. But you don't see it because in a revealed way the person doesn't care about above. So it's coming from above, but it's coming in a way with the Rebbe calls here Helem Ha'atzmi of Ein Sof. The so to speak, the essential hiddenness of the Ein Sof. It's coming in a way which is totally hidden. And it's being drawn down in a way which is totally unrevealed. And in the Hemshech Chaim Beis, he says it must be coming from such a high place which is undefined by higher and lower. It's coming from a place, and therefore it seems like it's coming on its own, the tshuva is coming. So in other words, it seems, hey, we see the same language, it seems like the tshuva is coming mi tzad atzmei, from within and of himself. Remember the language we spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, that the fifth book is coming mipi atzma, he's saying from himself. So now we understand a similar concept. Tshuva seems to be coming from within the person, but it's not really coming from within the person. What the fifth book that Moshe is saying is not saying from himself. Moshe didn't say anything from himself. But what it's coming from is a higher level, which seems to be an emanation of oneself. Ah, so now we have a beautiful connection between the two Pirushim of the Sefurno and Rashi. What is the book of Devarim about? Is it works of rebuke, or him repeating the whole Torah? What does words of rebuke mean? Words of rebuke are to bring a person to teshuvah. The whole Aveda of teshuvah is the same concept. Aveda of teshuvah is that there is somehow a transmission from above, from such a high level, that arouses a comeback in the person that didn't seem to care about transmission from above, and it seems to come from himself. That's really what the book of Mishneh Torah was also. It's a transmission from above that comes from such a high place that it's as if Moshe Rabbeinu is saying it on his own. But it's even higher than the rest of the Torah. Ches, we understand the same way it is. Same way it had to be in the Elui, in the advantage, in the high level of Mishneh Torah. That had to be as an introduction to go into Eretz Yisrael. The Yidden should be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. They had to be able to receive the Torah in this way, going through the funnel. Not the funnel, going through the changed or islapsious way, going into Moshe and then transmit it to them. At the same time, coming from such a high level that it still retains the Dvar Hashemness of it, the word of Hashem of it. Similarly, that's the way it is now when we're going to go into the final Gula. When we're making the preparations to go into Eretz Yisrael through Mashiach, and that is through the revelation of the Torah of Chassidus. Especially Chassidus Chabad, which has that same content. Just like in Mishneh Torah, Chassidus Chabad, there are things that are distilled, that are things of Elikus Mamish, but it's in a way that it comes in a way of Chabad, Chochmah Min Hadas, of intellect, that a person's Seichel should be able to understand it. Till in a way we say that it's a Yichud Nifla, it's a oneness, it's a unification of a wondrous fashion. Torah Bechlal, when you learn it, it becomes, you become united with what you've learned, with the word of Hashem in it, from every aspect and every side, and every corner. On the other hand, it hasn't changed whatsoever. It retains its elikus, it retains its godliness. That's why, because it retains its godliness, says Reb in footnote 55, you have to be very careful with regards to the words of the Rav. As the Rebbe says, In another place, I believe in Tovshin Nun Aleph, Pashas Matis Masei, that there's a famous story of Rabbi Hillel Paritcher, who heard some chassidus from the Tzemach Tzedek, and he heard the, and then the Tzemach Tzedek said the mimer, and the Hillel Paritcher learned a certain pshat in the mimer, and the Tzemach Tzedek said the pshat was different, and the Hillel Paritcher said that he's allowed to have a different opinion, he's allowed to give his opinion about what the Maimon that Tzemach Tzedek said, because when the Tzemach Tzedek was saying it, it was a likus coming down to the world. Now they can both try and understand that likus, even though that's what Tzadik was saying it. So this is a concept. In other words, the likus chassidus is coming down to the world. It's retaining its likusness. That's why you have to be careful on the one hand. The way it was said, you have to retain that language and you have to be careful not to change that. On the other hand, it's also said in a way where we can understand it. And the power from that is, because it says Siddhis Chabad, as it says elsewhere, is from the level of Torah. That's the fifth level, Yechida Sheba Torah. And that's the etzem of Pnimis HaTorah, the essence of Pnimis HaTorah. And that's why it doesn't get changed. Even when it comes, it has that same power. It can come down to seichel, to intellect, and it doesn't lose its alekusness, its godliness. Even the way it becomes enclosed in seichel adam, human intellect. And this is also the connection of Teres Chassidus with your futzul mayna secha chutzah. What do we say? That the actual wellspring of Chassidus has to come, to chutzah, has to come to the outside. Because if you want to be able to achieve in chutzah that the outside becomes affected, I mean, mayan, spring, wellspring, and chutzah are worlds apart. They have no connection with each other. If you want to affect chutzah, the outside, you need to bring not just a transmission from the mayan, the water from the well, you got to bring the well itself. And therefore, this is the preparation to what it says, Ka'asi Mar. As we know that the Baal Shem Tov asked Mashiach, when is Mar? When is Sir? He was in the Heichal of Mashiach, in the place of Mashiach Lamaila, and he asked, when is Sir? When is your Mashiach coming? And Mashiach answered him, when your Futzman is Achutzah, your wellsprings of Chassidus will be spread forth even to the outside. Because what that means is that at that time there'll be a revelation of every Yeda called Paul Kiatapalta. We say this in Rosh Hashanah. Every created being will know that you are the one that creates it. And even the chutzah shebechutzah, the outside of the outside, even the pole, alayna, even the thing that was created, thing was affected, brought into being by Likus, it in itself will know, it won't lose its identity, but in its own identity as being something separate, will understand that it's Hashem, will feel the Hashemness in it. Why? You'll feel that Atapalta, you Atzmus, were the one that achieved it. So it turns out that the fifth book of the Torah is giving us the power to be able to retain Dvar Hashemness within intellect. And this gives us that gift for all the entire Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu repeated the entire Torah to them in this format. Mashiach now.